a broken and a contrite heart throws itself at the mercy of God, knowing that it deserves nothing but God's righteous wrath. A broken and a contrite heart harbors no thoughts of repeating its sin, but seeks the strength of God to overcome sin and move towards holiness.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
And we will continue with our lessons on the subject of revelations on prayer, the revelation on prayer of the saints. We have understood that when the church gathers to pray, it is not an event. It is a spiritual momentum. Something is being set into motion. Amen. And so today, we're going to continue where we left off last week. Let me review a little, and then we will flow into the information for the day. In our previous lesson, we understood that what guarantees an answer to prayer is what? Who can tell me? What is it that guarantees an answer to prayer? What guarantees answer to prayer is a broken and a contrite spirit. And last week, I took the time to show you that every human is a spirit being. You have a soul, you have a body. And the way these three work is so crucial to how this, your whole Christian life ought to be. Most of the time we hide behind, oh, we are being spiritual. But we said that the real battle occurs where? In the soul. In the area of your mind, your will, and your emotions. When these three things are under the control of the spirit, then you are in the place of a contrite and a broken spirit. When these three things, your will, your emotions, and it's under the control of the body, then it is not. And it's very easy to be in church for more than 20 years, for years, and those three areas will still be under the body. And today we want to take time to show you how that really happens. Last week, all we talked about is what it is, the broken and a contrite spirit, what it is. Today I'm going to show you how to develop a broken and a contrite spirit. How to what? How to develop a broken and a contrite spirit. Say that with me again. How to develop a broken and a contrite spirit. How many of you like horses? Let me see your hands. How many of you like horses? You like horses? Yeah, I don't like horses, man. Horses are very good animals. They are very nice, but they can also be dangerous. If you don't want them to be dangerous, you will have to train them. When you train a horse, you are able to use the horse for farming, for warfare, for all kinds of things. But until the horse is trained, that horse can be very hostile to its owner. Right? Since you don't like horses, maybe you don't understand horse training. But I'll help you to understand it. But I'm sure most of you have seen horses and all the things they do, right? They're in equestrian, that is on the horse race. Now, for a horse to allow you to sit on their back, that horse must be trained. Else, as soon as you sit on their back, they will push you off. They will not allow you. In the training of horses, the concept of brokenness or breaking the will of the horse is what the whole training is about. It is done so that the horse will be under the will of the rider, the owner, not its own will. Are you guys following me? You are the horse. I am the horse. God is the rider of the horse. And until our will is broken so that he can ride us, we are not good horses. We are very hostile horses. Even though we could be used for warfare, we could be used for all kinds of things, but until the will is broken and God is in control, you are a bad horse. Broken and a contrite spirit are cursed through training. God has to take you through some things. Are you ready to go on the journey today? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you can read with me from the screen, that will be great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 23. I'll read from the New International Version. Please read with me, shall we? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. What is supposed to be kept blameless? Your. All right. I realize some of you start changing the order. Don't do it. There's a reason for which I pointed to the scripture. He says, may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. Everybody say spirit, soul, body. Say that with me. Let's say that again. A Christian in pursuit of a contrite and a broken heart. Remember, the heart belongs to the soulish what? Area. Should never reverse that order. It is spirit, soul, and say that with me. Spirit, soul, and say that again. Never reverse it. Your heart is in the soulish area. God's intent is to change the spirit so it controls your mind, your will, and your emotions. And in turn, it will control your body. When your body controls the mind, the will, and the emotions, the spirit, which has God's part in it, will never respond. So when I stand here to preach and teach, I am not aiming at your body. I am interested in the place of the battle, your soul, your mind, your will, and your... Everybody raise your right hand, please, if you will, and say this after me. God gave me a will. The will is mine. It can be dangerous, and it can also be good. Put your hands down. Did you understand what you just said? Your will is what? Your will is yours. So you can even choose against the God who gave it to you. That is why sometimes your children can choose against you. You gave birth to them, but they can choose against you because their will is theirs. But because God gave you a will, you become a candidate for judgment. Because if he didn't give you one, then you are a robot. Then he can judge you. Your will is yours. The horse's will must be broken so that the rider will sit on it. That begins from the spirit realm. It affects that will, and then the body of the horse literally follows because the will is pushing in a particular direction. Are you understanding me? Raise your right hand. Mine is left. Raise your right hand and say this after me. After today, I will allow my will to be broken by God. Now, I'm going to use a lot of words to interpret broken and a contrite spirit, but Let me just lay the groundwork and say it very simply. Until you become a horse that can be ridden by a rider, your will is not broken. You have no contrite and broken spirit. Are you guys with me? Until my will is subject to the will of God, quit running around and say, I have a contrite spirit. Until that spirit is subject, until your will is subject to his will. No. I think that definition is a bit easier, right? Now let me use big words to interpret the rest. Amen. How does God break our self-will? How does he do it? And remember, if he gave you a will, it means you are independent. So God is never going to force you. Are you guys with me? But I'm going to show you how he does it. How does God? Number one, he uses sin. God will not orchestrate sin, but he will allow you to walk into certain areas of sin so he can train you. You all remember Abraham? You remember Brother Abraham? All right. God allowed him to lie. He used it. He did not orchestrate the lying, but he allowed him and he used it to break the guy. Because if you remember, it was Abraham who was crying over things. He says he believed God until you get to Genesis 22. And Abraham says, whether there is a lamp or not, I will obey him. And remember the words of God. He says, now I know this guy will obey me. Amen. He can also use Satan. God can use tests and trials. And we're going to use as a case study four people. We will use Jacob. We will use Moses. We will use Hannah. And we will use Paul. We will use who? Jacob. We will use Hannah. And we will use who? Paul. All right. The first thing I want is to look at how can you and I be broken? We are horses now. The master wants to use us. But until our will is subject to his will, we cannot do much. And please remember why we want a broken and a contrite spirit. Because for God to hear prayer, it must come from that kind of heart. Are you guys with me? This is why we are trying to understand what it means. Number one, brokenness begins when staying in God's presence means more to you than your pain. Brokenness begins when staying in God's presence means more to you than your pain. First of all, let's look at Jacob. If you read with me from the book of Genesis chapter 32, you read the story of Jacob. Everybody know Jacob, don't you? You remember it was Jacob who took the blessing, right? And if it's today, many people would say, because he has cars and houses and seem to look like he's blessed with material things, he's the guy. But his heart was not with God. But there came a day when God began to do something different in the heart of this guy. Are you in the book of Genesis 32? Let's look at verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. Everybody pause. What is Jacob doing? What is Jacob doing? Anybody? The guy is a trickster. He tricked his big bro into getting the blessing. Right? He goes to Laban's house. He tricked the man. And he runs away. And he's about to meet Esau again, and he's sending his wives, just in case if Esau is angry and will kill them, the ones he claims he loves. So his nature is in the center of it. And God is saying, you have carried the blessing for too long. You cannot keep carrying it this way. Turn to the person sitting next to you. You cannot keep carrying the blessing this way. And say to them, the deceit must stop somewhere. And the scripture teaches that at this point, he was left alone. It is amazing how when people are around you, they don't help you to maintain a contrite and a broken heart. Because they will tell you all kinds of stuff. 23. After he has sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him, and a man wrestled with him, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The guy is interested in blessing. But notice that the second blessing he's asking for has nothing to do with the initial one. Because by this time, literally, he has been broken. His tie was broken, but that was also touched his heart. I'll show you in the course of it. And so brokenness begins when you have pain, but you are still willing to stay in God's presence. Let's all be honest. Where you are in pain, how many of you will pray? Let me see your hands. When you are in pain, you will pray. You will pray for a few days. Then after that, he said, forget it. Because he ain't listening. Right? But sometimes God on purpose is going to allow pain. And when God is the one who is orchestrating the pain, no amount of fasting and prayer can cut it. If it is God causing the trouble, you can change jobs. And the next supervisor you have will be something else, much far worse than the first one. If it is God doing it, you can relocate. And you realize nothing is working. Are you guys with me? We're talking about being broken. If God starts the journey because you ask him to, that I am a wild horse and I want you to work on me, people, it ain't simple. Jacob was left alone. Jacob was? Every day you want people around you. And you realize you have done practically nothing against these people, but everybody walks away from you. God has begun the breaking process. The pain is there. You pray, you fast. Everything you do, you are limping. It ain't going nowhere. But in the midst of all that, you spend countless hours in his presence worshiping him, but not asking him to take away your pain. That's when you know that brokenness has begun. Because your pain don't mean much to you except his presence. Are you ready to go on this journey or should I stop preaching? And it can be very painful. You will have a sense of rejection. You walk into places where everybody smiles with you, but you know they don't want to be around you. And even though you are sensing and seeing it, you don't feel like being angry towards any of them because the broken thing, what God is doing is he's drawing you away from people and into his presence. Are you guys with me? I am not talking about some simple stuff. It ain't cheap. There will be days you will cry for real. And you will wonder how in the world all this is happening, and if it is God doing it, quit following prophets. They can't change it. Did the Bible not say any door God closes? Did he say it's angels who can't open? He didn't say no man. He says no one. So he's talking about both in the heavenlies, on earth and beneath it. No one. So don't be in a rush to say, set my heart on fire. Because that's what you're asking for. Because God is going to begin a process that draws you into his presence. Amen. Jacob was limping. He was in pain. But he still decided to hold on to his presence. Let's look at Hannah. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll look at verse 6 to verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll read verse 6 to 7. And I'll read it from the New International Version. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Verse 7. Read with me. This went on year after year. Pause. How many years did it go on? How many years? You see, the Bible never tells us how many years until historically you read and find that it was beyond 20 years. Year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she would weep and would not eat. What I want you to see is that even though it went on year after year, she went into the house of the Lord to stay in God's presence. When your pain does not stop you from moving into his presence, brokenness has begun. When your pain takes you away from church and the gathering of other believers, there is something wrong with your heart. Ouch. It's a bad way of saying it, but it is the truth. Your heart, if it is going after him, your pain does not take you away from God's presence. Are you with me today? Look there with me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at verse 7 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, because of these surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited or simply proud, all right? I was given, this is Paul speaking, he said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I like it in the King James. He says, to buffet me, to strike repeatedly. That's what that word means. Three times. This is Paul the Apostle. When he prayed one time, stuff happens. But he prayed how many times? I pleaded the Lord to take it away. So in the midst of his pain, he was still in God's presence. Are you guys following me? When your brokenness, I would say brokenness has begun, you have become a horse whose will has been touched by the master. When your pain still brings you into his presence. And when you are in his presence, you are not praying about your pain. You want to know him. It's not a simple thing. When you have pain and you are not even praying about it, but you're declaring, I worship you. Sing with me. I worship you. Let me ask you, have you ever had a toothache before? Proper toothache, not the 2 minutes one. What exactly takes the toothache away? The rest of us who just say, yeah, can speak now. It's only those who have really, you put in imbecile, whatever you put in, is not going to work. The pain is so constant. It's there. God is saying, even when the pain is so bad, and you can ignore all of it and stay in my presence wanting to know me and forgetting about your pain, this heart has now begun to be broken. Picture Hannah. She's in a polygamous relationship. Elkanah had two wives. Peninnah has a lot of kids. Hannah does not have one. What do you think would be the normal thing that will happen in the home, ladies? So there are two different sets of hormones in the house. What do you think will happen? Don't talk about peace and joy. Come on, my brother. It's not peace and joy. That it won't be peace. You know this, that Peninnah was constantly, and the Bible says it, she constantly provoked her. So there is a level of pain in Hannah's heart. If she's looking for a baby, why does she need the baby? So that she can also show off, I got a baby. And God is not interested in Hannah's pain. But the guy to be born is the first prophet who is going to anoint several kings. And he needed the guy to grow up in a different environment. And God was going to make sure Hannah would come in line with that. So the day she said, you give me the boy, I give it to you. Not my will, but thine. God says, here, have it. But we are clapping. But do you think it was a simple thing for Hannah? Remember, even the priest was saying, girl, early morning like this, you're drunk. I'm just showing you that when pain is not the issue for you anymore, it doesn't mean the pain is gone. It's there. And it's buffeting. It is disturbing you. But you can literally go on your knees and say, Father, I have come again. In spite of my pain, I have come to worship you. Tears will be flowing down your cheeks, but you are declaring you are the great third king of all kings. If he's that great, why hasn't he taken away my pain? But he says, I want you to come to that place where that pain means nothing to you, but that you see my glory and that you want to serve me. And that you, I don't know how to express it. I feel it more than I can say it. God says, I have come to that place when that pain means nothing. But I want him. He begins to come and he works on my will. Do you notice that ignoring your pain to give him worship is an act of your will? When the will is pushed in that direction, God says, yes, that's the one I want. May God help us. I said, may God what? Secondly, how can I be broken? Brokenness is in progress when we accept who we are and allow God to strip us of our self-sufficiency and pride. Let's go back to Brother Jake. You know Brother Jake, right? Brokenness is in progress when we accept who we are and allow God to strip us of our self-sufficiency and pride. I dare say that fornication and adultery and gossip are lesser sins in comparison to pride against God. It's all sin, but the one sin that God cannot take is when you think you are all that and everything depends on you. Me, myself, and I. Pride. When it's in the picture, you will attract God's judgment. A contrite spirit is a humble spirit.
Thank you for listening to another kingdom-impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.